There's a lot of things going on.
This is a very zany kind of game.
It was ahead of its time.
It's really clever what they've done.
It's tense, but it's very brain-melty.
It's kind of a mix of everything I love in trick-taking.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Trick Talkers, your favorite podcast about trick-takers, climbers, shedders, and other card games. I'm Johnny.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Patrick.
And today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're doing a mini-sode. So we realized that in all of our episodes, we're throwing out all these terms relating to trick takers, climbers, shedders, etc. And it occurred to us that it's possible that not everybody knows what all these terms mean. So we decided we're going to do a quick mini-sode. We're going to kind of rapid fire off a bunch of terms that we came up with that people may or may not know. And so, it's going to be a real quick episode, probably 15 minutes or so. And without further ado, let's get started.
I'll start us off with an easy one here. And that is what a trick is. So a trick is each player in turn, typically clockwise, will play a card to the table, and whoever plays the best card wins them all. We say best card because it's not always necessarily the highest card. Each game will define what the best card is. And in a trick taker, you are playing a game where it consists of a series of tricks, or they're also known as books in some parts of the world, are played.
We're kind of using the standard definition for a lot of these. So before the internet jumps in to tell us how we're wrong on all these definitions, I just want to caveat that. Obviously, there are a myriad trick takers, and they all riff off of this idea of tricks and trick taking. So some card, you know, for example, maybe you don't win all the cards in a trick in every trick taker. Maybe you only win one card out of the trick. We're not going to go into every variant of all of these definitions.
We will do that in the actual episode when we discuss the game in detail, but at least you know when we say trick what we're talking about based on this episode.
Yeah, this is essentially a primer.
Keeping on with the sort of easy terms here, we're going to just talk about a trick-taking game. As we sort of said, what a trick-taker is, with trick-taking games, the goal, again, typically is to try and collect or win tricks. Most trick takers that you'll play or hear about fall under this umbrella. Some common examples are Wizard or Skulking or O'Hell, any variation of that. Spades, tarot games, Doppelkopf, and one that I know the three of us really love recently is Pups.
Yeah, and it may be a little bit confusing, but we also use the term trick taker to refer to games that aren't technically games where you want to take tricks. There's also a subcategory of trick takers called trick avoidance games. And these are trick-taking games, in quotes, in which the goal is to actually avoid taking tricks, whether it's some, most, or all of the tricks in a hand. Some examples of this are the classic Hearts, Idle Hands, Texas Showdown, and Voodoo Prince, all of which I believe we've talked at least at some length about, maybe not Idle Hands.
Just to add to that, another type of trick-taking game in the subcategory is a last trick or final trick game, a game in which only the last trick will determine the winner. So some examples of those games are Cucumber, the roulette taking game, and the Bark Side. Typically, in a trick-taking game, you will lead into a trick. So if you're leading, that essentially means you're playing the first card into a trick before the other players. The other players, when they're playing cards, they follow the leader, which is known as following, and they are playing a card after the leading player. The suit of the card that is played by the leader of the trick is defined as the lead suit. This suit becomes the high suit, except where trump is in play. And that's obviously in games where there is suits on the cards. Trump, to add a bit of context, are cards that beat the lead suit. So trump suits, normally they're a specific suit. They aren't always. And they are elevated in rank above the other suit. So, for example, Cat in the Box, the red suit is always trump, which is higher than the other suits.
Some types of card play as far as following goes by the other players that have to follow off the lead player. The most common one you see is must follow. This is where players must play a card that is of the same suit as the one played by the lead player. If they don't have the card of the lead suit, then they can play any card they wish. The other category, which is a little less common, is may follow. This is where players may play a card that is of the same suit as the lead player, or they can play anything else they want in their hand, even if they have the lead suit. Some examples of games that use may follow are Trick and Trade, Shamans, and Plotters Inc. And there's an even less common, especially in modern games, you see this more typical in tarot or traditional games, of the must trump system. So if you can trump, you must. That means you must play a card that can win the trick. Typically, this is only done if you have the lead suit, if you don't have the lead suit.
Yeah, and that brings us to a term that you're going to hear us use all the time, just as often as must follow, which is short suiting or being short suited or being void in a suit. And what that means is that your hand contains no cards of that suit. For example, if you are short suited in clubs, it means that you don't have any clubs in your hand. The next one that I want to talk about is offsuiting. So offsuiting is playing a card that doesn't follow the lead suit. And as we just discussed, typically in a must-follow game, this can only be done if you're short-suited in the lead suit. So if you do not have any cards of the lead suit, then you can offsuit by playing any other suit. Often this is referred to as discarding or sloughing, or in the UK, binning, because the cards that you are offsuiting usually can't win the trick. So it's essentially discarding the card from your hand.
Now that we've gone over some terms within play during a trick taker, we're going to go over a few different types of trick takers that have mechanics within it. And the first one we're going to discuss is bidding games. And this is a trick taker in which you must bet in advance how many tricks you'll win, and then you'll score or lose points based on how close you were to your bid, or how far away, or exact. There are, again, different ways each trick taker plays it out. Some common examples of this are, again, skulking, oh hell, any variation of that. And then one that recently came out was Nine Lives. It uses a really clever way to do bidding, where it actually wraps around. When you get to the highest number on the trick, it wraps back around on the board. Which sort of brings us into the next type of bidding, which is moving bid. So this is where in games in which your bid changes throughout the round. Some great examples of this that we've discussed in length in this podcast is Nokus Dice and Segment Tricks. And then there's another category. This one, again, is less common, but I think it's a great style of bidding that I think needs to be used in more games, and that is hidden bids. This is where players will still make their bid at the beginning of the round, but in the examples that I said before, all of those are revealed to all players at the beginning as well. So it's public information. In hidden bid games, your bid stays hidden until the end of the round in which it's revealed. One example of a game that does this is 99. There's a small caveat to that one, because you can actually reveal your bid at the beginning of the round to earn more points, but typically players keep their bid hidden in that game. There's also another game called Monster Trick that sort of does this as well. It's a combination of hidden bids and moving bids in a way, where you place all of your bids at the beginning of the round that are hidden, but once you take a trick, it gets revealed where your bid is at.
Another category of games are known as climbers. But they fall under the trick-taking umbrella as far as trick talkers are concerned anyway. So they are games in which players play cards to a central meld. So that is a collection of cards that are played to the table, which typically are runs, things like pairs, triplets, which many of you may already be familiar with in poker. Each meld must be of a higher rank than the previous, and play will typically continue until everyone but one player passes. So basically, no player can beat the last played meld. And games that are good examples of climbers are 5-3-5, which we talked about, Scout, Hatchet Train, Haggis, Frank's Zoo, Mask Men, and Shedders are games in which the aim is to play out all of your cards. But a lot of it is interchangeable because most climbers are also shedders.
Yeah, and it should be noted that some trick takers are also shedders. So, for example, Fool is a game in which it's a trick taker, not a climber. But the goal in that game is also to get rid of all your cards. So it's a hybrid trick taker shedder. So they're not exclusive to climbers, but most often shedders are climbers and vice versa.
And I think that's a commonality you'll hear on our episodes. We might sort of use words interchangeably, trick taker, climber, shedder. But just know, again, with the definitions here, what they're going off of and how, especially in modern game design, where all these trick takers are trying to come up with something new or give a clever twist, that it's always hard to find that, you know, line of where it becomes a trick taker, where it becomes a climber, and where it becomes a shedder.
Mm-hmm. And actually, Ryan, I know there's a video you were talking about. It's Adam something or other.
Adam from Wales has a great video where he goes sort of in length in the difference of trick taking, climbing, and shedding, and also the similarities, and uses specific examples of games that fall under those categories. It's about 18 minutes long, but it's certainly worth every minute to watch that to get more information after, of course, listening to our wonderful definitions that we've provided today.
We'll call that supplemental content. So there are two more definitions that we wanted to go over. These are a little less common. These are some that even some trick-taking veterans may not have heard, and these are Talon and Kitty. These are often used interchangeably, but they're actually slightly different. So a Talon refers to undealt cards in a game, and a Kitty is a hand of cards dealt face down, not belonging to any particular player, and players may exchange cards with the Kitty and or Talon, depending on which game. It's like I said, these are used interchangeably, but technically, not all Talons are Kitties. If you can't exchange cards with the Talon, it's not a Kitty. If you can, it is a Kitty. So not all Talons are Kitties, but Kitties are by definition Talons. And you may hear them referred to as unique terms depending on the game. So for example, Haggis has a Kitty or a Talon that's referred to as the Haggis. And that is a hand of undealt cards that can't be exchanged with, but will be given to the winning player and may contain some points as well. And there may be other games that use their own unique term to refer to the Talon or the Kitty.
And finally, as a Briticism, my definition, just for fun, TNT, and I mean like the explosive TNT, basically means taking no tricks. So the reason it's explosive is because it can blow up in your face. And, you know, I know Ryan likes shooting the moon, so I thought it'd be fun to throw in. And I don't suppose you'll start using that term now, but...
I can't believe that we almost finished this episode without defining shooting the moon. So, Ryan...
That's a perfect entrance for Ryan to explain what shooting the moon is.
He's looking it up. That's shameful.
Well, shooting the sun.
You need to change your username immediately.
I can explain it. No, this is off the record. This is why because all of our other definitions were written out and done succinctly. So I want to make sure it's written out as well. Because again, shooting the moon is one of those terms that's used very loosely. The traditional definition of shooting the moon came around from the game Heart. At least I believe that's the original. It might be even older than that, but Hearts is where it's used the most. And this is where in the game of Hearts, as we mentioned, is a trick avoidance game. and you're trying to avoid the heart suit because they are worth negative points. However, you can shoot the moon, and if you manage to take all of the negative points, so all of the hearts in the heart suit, as well as the Queen of Spades, that is an additional card worth minus points, then you'll actually give those negative points to other players. So it's doing something that's supposed to be very difficult, aka shooting yourself to the moon. So the thing is, in most trick-taking games nowadays, though, the term shooting the moon is used a little more interchangeably than just taking all of the cards of a suit like it is in hearts. Sometimes it can mean just taking no tricks at all, which is kind of the opposite of hearts. You're trying to take all the points. But there are some games where it's considered to be shooting the moon if you take zero tricks. And I think that's the more common use of shooting the moon nowadays in modern games. But that is the idea of whenever you hear us talking about shooting the moon. It's trying to take all of the tricks or none of the tricks or all of the negative points.
Okay, well, hopefully you found this helpful or informative or mildly entertaining. If you enjoy the show, we appreciate any support, whether that's, giving us a rating on wherever you listen to your podcasts, shooting us an email or tweeting us, retweeting us. If you want to support the show financially, we did launch a Patreon recently. So you can find us at patreon.com/tricktalkers. If you want to send us a message, you can find us on Twitter at TrickTalkers or by email at TrickTalkers@gmail.com. All right. Well, that's all we have for you this time. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Thanks for joining.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.